Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our meditation for this morning is taken from our first reading, which is found in the book of Acts. St. Luke writes, "They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And awe came upon every soul. Many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. They were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all, as any had need. Day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved." In our first lesson for this morning, we're given a glimpse into the life of the early Christian church. In fact, in many ways, it seems that one can almost imagine the portrait that's being painted by the inspired words of St. Luke. We can see in our mind as we meditate upon this holy word, the harmony, the peacefulness, the charity, fellowship and kindness, the love and care for one another, that, as Scripture says, creates a sense of awe and wonder. Life together in Christ is what we're seeing. This is what life is supposed to be in the church. God's people faithfully coming together to worship Christ, to hear the Scriptures, to pray, and to break bread, that is, partake of the Holy Eucharist, the Lord's Supper. The image is that of a body of believers gathered around Christ and his holy gifts of grace and forgiveness to them. And so what it is then that we see here, again, is this beautiful image that inspires awe. Or perhaps the word that we would use, the ideal. If there were a perfect image of the Christian church, we would say this must be it. God's people in harmony, caring for each other in all regards, living and walking together, gathering in the presence of God for worship, to receive the grace and mercy and peace of God in their lives, individually and as a community. That's the ideal, isn't it? That's the church that we all want, isn't it? That's the life of faith we all want, right? That's the community of believers that we want to be part of, isn't it? To walk together in this way, to receive the blessings of God together. And yet it seems this ideal eludes us. It seems almost too good to be true what St. Luke has written. How is that possible? And yet, because it is the Word of God and is true and we trust it, we know that this is true. This is what is taking place. But as we know from the rest of the Scriptures, while this is inspiring and there's awe here, we know that there are also troubles in the church. Whether it be the epistles written by Peter or by John or by Paul. We've talked about, you know, different epistle lessons this year. The Corinthian church and the disunity that's there. Or the warnings from St. John and St. Peter about false teachers that are going in among us, misleading the people of God. Then even with our study of 1 Peter a couple weeks back, the Roman persecution, how the brothers and sisters of Christ who are gathering in this community are being killed for their faith, being martyred. Not everything is perfect. Not everything is perfect. Even at this time when the book of Acts is being written and it's being discussed, there's persecution in Jerusalem by the religious leaders of the time. The Word of God is not attempting to mislead us. Instead, the Word of God is pointing us to the things that unite the people of God, that create this harmony and love and awe. And its Word is prayer, its sacrament. These are the things emphasized. And yes, then life together as God's people, breaking bread together. This ideal imagery is not meant to discourage us, but instead is supposed to encourage us as God's people. Encourage us to do our best as a body of believers to live in peace, in harmony with one another. Acknowledging that, yes, there will be disputes among us. There will be conflicts. But at the same time, we are all sinners. That's why we are in the church. Not one of us is perfect or righteous. The life of the Christian is that of one that confesses sin before God. This is what the Christians are gathering to do. To hear the Word of God, the law which shows us our sin, the gospel that shows us our forgiveness through Christ and His blood shed. We're called to confess our sins and to forgive each other. Just as when we confess our sins to Christ, He forgives us for the sake of His own death and resurrection. We are called to love each other, even when we are behaving in a completely unlovable way, when we are at our worst, or even when others around us are doing the same thing. We are called to love them, because guess what? Christ loved us when we were completely unlovable. Christ loves us, even though we are sinners, and forgives us of our sins. And this is what holds us together in Christ and in community. Christ gathers us together, this messy, conflicted, complicated gathering of sinners, you and me. It calls us saints. United together by Christ Himself and what He has done, not what we have done. This is where the harmony is found. This is where the ideal exists, because it can only exist in the perfection of Christ. It can't exist in the imperfect and flawed means and methods of man. Because man is merely dust. Man, apart from Jesus, is dead, condemned, lost, blind, and broken. But in Christ, we are a new creation. We are made alive by Jesus Himself, sustained in this new life. This new life that's dependent upon word and sacrament, the gifts of God. Because, like I said, it's the Word of God that's constantly showing us our condition and our need for a Savior. Our need for the love of God. And how we fail to love God and to fail to love our neighbor so that we can be called to repentance and receive that absolution. The very Word of Jesus that says you are forgiven by My blood. Not by your doing, but by His doing upon the cross. In this we are saved. In this we are united. In this, there is harmony. And when there's harmony and unity in Christ, then there is love. Love amongst one another. even if it's imperfect because of our sinful nature. But you know what? A house of sinners is aware of their sin. And a house of sinners that is aware of their sin is going to be more harmonious than a house of those self-righteous hypocrites. And so we look then at our text to see where our harmony is found as sinners. Sinners made saints by the blood of Christ, by his mercy and forgiveness. Where is it found? Again, they're devoted to the apostles' teaching, which is the word. Fellowship, gathering together in the presence of the word. To the breaking of bread and the prayers. The means of grace. And then it talks about their life together. They're breaking bread in their homes. There's two different kinds of bread breaking going on here. Verse 42, we have the Eucharistic bread. The Lord's Supper. Verse 46, we have house bread. Where the saints are living and walking together, eating together, sharing in their lives together. But that Eucharistic bread, that Lord's Supper, what's received in the Lord's Supper? What are the words of Jesus? Take and eat. This is my body given for you. With the cup, drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. By the forgiveness of sins, we're united into Christ in his death and resurrection. And by the forgiveness of sins, as God's people, we're united together as a body in Christ. And the word is what declares this to us. And our prayers are brought together out of faith, which God himself has created in your hearts. Bound with the promise that he will hear our prayers. This is what Christ is gathering us into. That's why the early church, the Christians, devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship and to the breaking of bread and the prayers. Because this is what ultimately matters for us as God's people. This is the heart and life of the saint. Because there is the promise of forgiveness and everlasting life. The Reverend Herman Saucer writes, "The Lord's Supper is necessary for the life of the church. For in the celebration of the sacrament, the church keeps on becoming what, according to God's will, she is meant to be. Here she becomes visible as church in a totally unique way, so far as we humans can judge. A church bereft of this sacrament would be swallowed up by the world and cease to be church, just as it has in fact transpired in many places. Whenever the Lord's Supper has been permitted to decay, the boundary lines between church and world have universally disappeared, and the church has been absorbed into the world. The Lord's Supper, the word and sacraments are the heart and center of our life in Christ, because these unite us to the death and resurrection of Jesus. It's the heart and center of who we are, who we have become in Christ by his mercy. And that's why we are here this morning. We're gathered for the same reason that they gathered, or at least hopefully. We are. Hopefully we're here to receive the very same things that they gathered to receive, to hear the good news of Christ crucified for the forgiveness of sins, and to receive the good news of forgiveness from Christ himself through word, through baptism, through his holy supper. And that in receiving this, we would come together as God's people to pray for the well-being of the church. For the salvation of sinners who are still lost in unbelief, for the needs of God's people, and so forth. This is the the life that Christ has called us into. Because all of this keeps us in Christ, unites us in Christ. Which is, after all, the desire of our Lord for you. It is the Lord's will for you that you would be gathered around Him. I mean, you look at the chancel area up here. We've got a pulpit, and a lectern, and an altar. All of it. Christ is at the center of it. So that when you look up here, you are being focused in on Christ. His presence through His word, His body and blood, His true presence through the sacrament. As you look up here, you are staring into Christ and experiencing Him through His gifts of grace. For Christ is with us today, forgiving our sins and renewing us, refreshing us, all of this for you. Gathering us, that the weary would come to Him and find rest for their souls, that the thirsty would find refreshment through living water, that the hungry would be fed with the bread of life, and that sinners would be made saints by His life, His merit, His perfection, His death upon a cross and His resurrection. This is what takes place. This is the heart of our community as Christians, our lives together. So we break bread together because Christ broke His body and poured out His blood for all of us, for you, out of love. We fellowship together as sinners made saints because Christ did not let sin separate us from Him, but instead He overcame sin and death. That we would be in relationship with Him. So that by the forgiveness of sins that we are one in Him and that we are one with each other. This is what Christ gathers you into today. The Word of God is handed down from the prophets and the apostles, inspired by the Holy Spirit. The breaking of bread. The sacraments. Fellowship of uniting our voices together in prayer. None of it's about what we have done, but all of it's about what Christ has done and is doing for you and in you and through you. Our lives together are centered in Jesus. And while sin may drive us apart and while sin may cause division and disunity, Christ is powerful to unite, to gather His people. As He said in our gospel lesson, He's the door. His sheep know His voice. He's the one who opens and lets the sheep in and lets the sheep out into pasture. Christ is the one who's powerful to unite and keep His people. To overcome sin by forgiving it. So yes, brothers and sisters, perhaps we will not ever see the ideal in this life. But we do have the hope and promise of the ideal in the life of the world to come. Where every sin shall be gone from us, every tear wiped away, and the perfection of God's love and peace will be yours. And those things that divide us today will be put away. We will be perfectly united in Christ. Until then, by the grace of God, may we continue to walk in faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. Crucified and risen Savior, who has gathered us together today to forgive our sins, to forgive your sins, so that we may rejoice in His word and be fed by His body and blood with the forgiveness of sins and the promise of everlasting life. Amen. The peace of God surpasses all understanding. Keep your hearts and minds. Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.